buddy Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Tom, you know I'm kind of a weather hobbyist, along with a lot of other things that I have an interest in.
Or, in the current vernacular, a weather nerd.
You know, I have a lot of things that I am interested in, and I was just checking to see.
I'm kind of an amateur weather nerd myself.
I think you are, yeah. Too. You are. You're kind of a weather nerd as well. And I was just checking, has it ever been 90 degrees in February in Tucson? And the answer is yes. 90 yesterday was the all-time high, and it wasn't like the typical within the last 5 years. I think it was 1921, and then today the record was 91 again, a long time ago, maybe 100 years ago. So anyway, it's good to know that it's happened before, but right now not happening, as we're in the middle 80s, which is certainly tolerable here in Tucson, Arizona. Hey, it's the midweek edition of Buckmaster already. Wow, where did the first 2 months go? It's been a blur, in a very good way, as a lot of my Facebook friends have seen. And thank you, by the way, for folks who have sent along some wonderful messages on my personal Facebook. It is Wednesday, February 26th. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, part of the Bustos Media, I guess you'd call it a campus, where we have five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice. When we do our telephone interview, 790-2040, always available for folks to call in. The Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management Live Line. Let's welcome now and get the ball rolling for our midweek show, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. We try to book Dr. Trujillo at least, well, about once a month. We could probably book him every day. I mean, there's so much going on at Tucson Unified, where he is the superintendent of instruction, superintendent at TUSD. Dr. Trujillo, how are you?
Doing very well, Bill. It's good to be back on the show.
Wow, there's so much going on. Let's begin with Tom Horn is saying that he's very disturbed, Superintendent Horn. There was an interesting piece in the Tucson Agenda. That's one of the online news services that Joe Ferguson is now involved with. By the way, Joe will be my co-media host on the program Friday. But anyway, they were talking about the Horn ultimatum that he wants teachers, basically, if we do what he says, Dr. Trujillo, teachers in Arizona would have to flunk half of the students. We're talking about his ultimatum on absenteeism.
That's a very old world, antiquated, outdated, I couldn't think of a more out of touch way to inspire and motivate young people to come to school. Young people don't come to school because there's a disconnect between what school represents in their lives, okay, and that representation's relevance to their daily experience. That's the disconnect. So the answer to that is relationships. The answer to that is equity of opportunity and resources to extracurriculars, to student support services, to tutoring services if that's needed, equal access to things like transportation and food. And yes, the biggest answer is a highly certified exceptional teacher in every single classroom. You can't threaten students. You can't threaten your way out of a motivation problem. And that's really what the absentee issue is all about. Listen, I've been in public education now for 28 years. I've worked with all kinds of kids. I was a principal of a comprehensive high school in Phoenix filled with 14, 15, and 16-year-old kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't claim to know all things, but I do know this. Kids don't come to school because of relationships, because school is not meaningful to them, because what we say school is supposed to represent for them, we haven't done a good enough job of creating an engaging experience that connects with them. So just simply saying that you're going to flunk, well, here's also something for Superintendent Horn. When a young person has missed 20 first periods in a row or 20 days in a row, and they're already steeped in Fs in all of their classes.
I think I know where you're going with this. They don't really care then if you threaten them if they're going to flunk out, right?
Absolutely. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
If the stick that you're using, they're not afraid of the stick.
Exactly.
So it's almost comical, Bill. I thought that was something out of the Onion News, actually.
How are your numbers on enrollment looking? Because we're fast approaching the home stretch of school year 2024-25.
We are. In the 100th day of the school year, that's what everybody in every school district watches. That's the day that your enrollment is submitted to the state. That's what the state uses for the purposes of funding. And it's the average amount of students that have attended school for the first 140 days. So I will say for us, it is still bad, but it's better than last year. You know, last year at the 100th day for 23-24, we were down almost 1,000 students. Mm-hmm. This year, we're down 662. So again, it's not good to be losing any enrollment.
But look at some of the other districts like Mesa.
Look at Mesa down 2,000
students.
Which
is now the largest school district in Arizona, I believe.
And it lost 2,000 year over year.
And they were talking layoffs.
They did layoffs. They laid off 160 teachers.
Wow.
Chandler, which is on a fast track to once again being number three and TUSD mm-hmm. being number two, mm-hmm. Chandler lost 1,100.
Wow.
So, and then here locally, Amphitheater took a massive 4% loss in enrollment year over year.
Mm.
So every Southern Arizona district has been hit to a degree. Any hit is bad, but the hit that we took last year was worse than what we saw this year.
And you look at this, the whole motivation, you're talking about motivation with Mr. Horn, but when you talk about trying to recruit new teachers, they're seeing layoffs up in the valley, and then they're seeing the support at the state legislature for teachers eroding. It looks like any efforts to get teacher salary increases has stalled at the legislature, and the only way this could turn around would be actually a direct going to the voters. So this is a difficult time to be a teacher.
It's a very difficult time to be a teacher, you know, and then you layer on top of that that you probably have higher class sizes because of all the teacher vacancies that exist, so you're dealing with more kids. We now have a dramatic increase in students with disabilities coming into TUSD. We welcome them. We love them. They're fully included. But they're coming in because other schools aren't taking them. Specifically, elite privates and charters are turning them away.
They're no longer welcome at those.
And actually giving them TUSD's information, saying, go here. And so because of the shortage in special education teachers, our special education staff, they're overrun. They have high caseloads. So it's a tough time to be a teacher. Then you layer in just the negative messaging you get from the legislature around compensation. You don't matter. You're a tax burden. You're indoctrinating students. You're incompetent. Those are all the messages that come with these bills that target teachers and public schools. It's very, very frustrating. And then you add to that that Arizona remains 48th or 49th in teacher salaries. It's actually pretty embarrassing.
It really wasn't too long ago, Superintendent, that there was the movement called Red for Ed, when the public seemingly really got behind those that are in the classroom. It seems like the tone has changed.
I think the cataclysmic event that happened between 2025 and 2018 is a thing called COVID. COVID became, nobody thought it would be when it first broke out in 2020. It became incredibly divisive. It became a polarizing issue, and it became politicized. And all of the politics around COVID and the anger about school closures and the anger mm-hmm. about whether or not COVID started in a lab or whether to wear a mask, all of it
mm-hmm.
got directed at the public schools.
And the narrative changed.
The narrative became, you're against me, the parent, because the administration or the media or all of these rabbit holes I'm going down on social media telling me that this is fake, you're a part of it, you're closing schools, you're making life difficult for me. No, we're trying to keep kids safe based off of the information we're receiving. And I think that changed things. And certainly in extremist right-wing circles, schools became the enemy.
They became government schools, public schools.
We started hearing language like government schools. We started hearing indoctrination, that was the whole goal, was to keep secrets from parents, turn kids against their parents. And certainly not all of our parents think that way, but you have a good portion now of the community that has taken this up. And unfortunately, that's represented in the legislature.
All right, we're going to pause right here. It's the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. Got Dr. Gabriel Trujillo is with me in the studio. We're talking education in Arizona. We will be back after the first segment break. It's Buckmaster on a Wednesday afternoon.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com. Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. The Buckmaster Show, midweek edition, the final Wednesday in the month of February. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo is here. He's the superintendent at Tucson Unified. Tucson Unified is a very historic district, Dr. Trujillo. The geographical footprint, though, has really changed. About where schools were originally located, have the schools now kept up with where the new growth is? At some point, a board, the governing board, it will be their responsibility to really look and maybe do a total overhaul of this district.
Because when you look at the enrollment trends, we can't keep losing enrollment year over year. and not have a response. Look, you can't market and promote your way out of a demographic problem, right? And so we are in a situation where the district has historically situated itself with schools that are very well represented on the east side of town. Now, 50 years ago, that was great because that was
that was your growth area.
That was the growth area. Yeah. But now we've got schools in these older neighborhoods where the average age is 55 or over. Mm-hmm. We do not have an abundance of K-12 aged kids anymore. And that ship has left the building. But we have other sectors of the district that are growing and where families are moving to, like our Southwest sector out there by the Casino del Sol. We have a few schools already out there that are bursting at the seams when you look at VC Elementary, you look at Banks. And so at some point, it doesn't have to be this board, but a future board is going to have to wrestle with a very difficult topic. Is our geographic footprint as it is right now setting us up for future success? And, you know, the answer is no. It's very clearly no. When you look at where we're losing kids, where we're not able to get enough kindergartners coming in, those are those older East Side neighborhoods that, you know, we're going to have to take that question on sooner rather than later.
All right, let's go to the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Caller Matt would like to speak with the superintendent at Tucson Unified, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Go ahead, Matt.
Hi, Dr. Trujillo, and congratulations to you and the board on navigating so many things over the years. And you're actually, pretty stable right now. You have a wonderful board, less controversy. Real quickly, three issues. You were going to do math teaching by an online service or something. How's that going? Number two, Prop 123 monies, if it goes away, are you concerned? And lastly, where's the headquarters situation? Are you going to stay where you are? Are you moving? And how much is it going to cost? Thank you. Bye.
Those are all great questions, Matt. So first of all, with math, we don't have a standalone math instructional program. We have a supplemental math program that supports the live teaching that goes on in math classrooms. That's IXL. It does a wonderful job of engaging kids on more of the factual side, of the factual fluency side of math, multiplication tables, factors, all that good stuff. So shout out to IXL. Second question, I think the second question had to do...
We kind of covered it a little bit earlier. That was the stalling of Proposition 123, the renewal at the legislature. We talked about how things are not moving in the teachers' favor now up in Phoenix.
That would represent the loss of $2 million additional dollars for TUSD if that runs out. That's bad news. Lastly, headquarters, it's at a standstill. One of the things that I've done to get the cost back down, we don't want to spend $7 million to move into that building. We've called for a second opinion, so we're going to have a second inspection. We're going to shave down on costs by eliminating any cosmetic upgrades to the building. We're also going to get a second opinion on the HVAC system in the building. We're going to challenge the notion that it needs to be replaced, and we're not going to bring the item back until the board successfully has a purchase sale agreement for our current building. I think we owe it to the community to sell our current building first before starting to talk about money spent on renovations at the new building.
And would this be a possibility, Dr. Trujillo, that if the new building just doesn't pencil out, could 1010 do a complete remodel at 1010?
To do a remodel at 1010 is going to be close to $11 million.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, so
it's other was seven. So yeah, do the math.
Yeah,
right?
I think we can move in there for significantly less than $7 million. We just have to challenge that inspection, challenge some of the vendor recommended costs.
Okay, my stack of stuff, which I always have a lot of stuff about education for you and your monthly visits. Let's talk about, have there been some immigration-related activities at your schools? Any sweeps at Tucson Unified?
No, there's been no sweeps. We have guidance out there to our principals that, yes, if we will follow the law, we will comply. But we have every expectation that law enforcement officials conduct themselves as well, lawfully. And that means presenting a valid judicial warrant signed by a judge to come onto our campuses. Absent that, you're not coming onto our campuses. And I say judicial warrant because I know from talking to other superintendents in other parts of the country, sometimes ICE officers will present an agency warrant or an administrative warrant signed by ICE leadership. We're not going to be honoring that kind of a warrant. Mm-hmm. It needs to be judicial, and it needs to be signed by a judge. Those are pretty difficult to get. So far, we have not seen any activity.
So a judge would actually have to sign the
yes.
the document. All right, what about a high stakes, getting back again to Superintendent Tom Horn, what they call a high stakes graduation test. And what that would be is if you don't pass this test, you don't graduate. And our friend Dr. Robert Hendricks, who appears on our program every month, talked about this last week and said there are only 8 states that do this, and it is still very unusual in the United States to have this. It hasn't worked, apparently, in a lot of places.
No, and again, I couldn't think of a worse way to create a meaningful school experience for 9th through 12th graders. And when you're supposed to be preparing kids for college, career, life, and community service and civic engagement.
And you're studying just for a test.
And your whole goal is to how to take a test and how fast can I pass it. So by the way, like my question would be, we already have this. It's called the AASA. You have the Arizona Academic Skills Assessment. By the time a kid gets to 12th grade, they've already taken that thing 2 times. They've had to take it 2 times, okay? And 90% of 12th graders have probably passed it at that
some point, right?
So what are you going to do with your other state mandated test? Where does that fit in? Secondly, our juniors and seniors, they take the ACT. I couldn't think of a test more relevant and meaningful to students, especially the students that are on their way to the college or university system. Mm-hmm. There's already a motivation to do well on
sure.
it. There's there's already that sort of sense of urgency that they've got to get the scores necessary to matriculate
yeah.
to the university.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that there would be any, I think it would be very destructive to have an all or nothing high stakes test for an 18-year-old kid that has given, that has dedicated themselves to their high school community for 4 years, accruing 20 credits, making music, doing sports, building robots, you know, participating in coding, doing student government, you do all these things, you do all the community service, and because you're not taking a test very well, what then? You're stuck?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, let's go to the live line presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Kevin wants to, Kevin has a suggestion, Dr. Trujillo, about the situation at 1010. And for those that are not familiar, when we refer to 1010, that is the longtime headquarters of Tucson Unified School District. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hi, I went to school from 1956 at University Heights School. And, you know, that's the Morrow Building. I was a contractor here in town, and we did 2 remodels on that old building. And the last remodel we did for Concord Construction. I was a HVAC contractor. That building was shot then.
Wow.
I mean, you know, it's got to be 75 years old. Why don't they these schools on the east side, many of them that, you know, they've already closed some. They sold Wrightstown School and that years ago, and University Heights School, they sold it and made condominiums out of it. Why don't they just move the administrative headquarters from the old Morrow Building into one of those schools and redo that?
Okay, thank you, sir.
No, that's a great question. So I think, number one, when you look at the schools that have already closed, like let's say Carson is one that we're aggressively trying to get on the market and get somebody to pick up. We'll make it's to our financial benefit to sell versus remodel, meaning we will sink more money into trying to remodel like a Carson to make it a district headquarters than we would make more money selling it and putting it into the district's plant fund and supporting current schools. So it ends up being cheaper to just buy the building outright over there at 220 West 6. And regarding 1010, 1010 is shot. It grows on you though, Bill. I've been in 1010 for 10 years. I've gotten used to seeing, I've gotten used to the elevator not working. I've gotten used to the, to no air condition in the summer and having to bring a fan in from my house, because I just tell myself, I'm like, you know, if our teachers have to deal with some of these conditions at their school, so should I. So there's a certain kind of camaraderie knowing that our teacher workforce deals with this kind of stuff. I'm no better than them, so I should be subjected to it as well.
What's your school year calendar look like here? We are closing in on school. When does it closing in on school ending, actually, the school year?
Well, school's going to end the week of, May 16th will be our final week. We've got graduations going on the evenings of May 19th, May 20th, and 21st. So we're kind of rounding the corner here. We've got testing season coming up here later in March and into April. So full speed ahead.
All right, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Thank you, Dr. Trujillo. And we've already now scheduled your appointment for us pretty much exactly a month from today. So you'll be back with us the end of March as we really get close to the end of the school year. All right, thank you. Hope you have a great afternoon, Dr. Trujillo.
Thank you very much, Bill.
All right, take a pause right here, midway edition of the Buckmaster Show. We will be right back with retired three-star general Jeffrey Buchanan right after this.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Fastest hour in my life right here from noon to one. So much
content today, and we try to do that every day on the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, Green Things 3384 East River Road. Yes, the sale's going on over at Zocalo Village, all that beautiful imported merchandise, some of the handcrafted, like mesquite wood dining room sets, all of that, those beautiful items, up to 50% off because three of the buildings are in the floodplain over there, so they've got to go. So the merchandise, why not sell it at a discount rather than invest the time and labor to move it over to the new building? But anyway, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. When we do our live line, that's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. At least once a month, we bring in Jeffrey Buchanan, retired three-star general, United States Army. He was commander of the United States Army North. That's the Fifth Army. He was commissioned a lieutenant in the infantry in May 1982 after graduating from the University of Arizona. General Buchanan served four tours in Iraq, one in Afghanistan. Actually, I believe, good to see you, General, by the way.
Thanks, Bill.
I think you led what was became known as the Strike of the Sword. Was that Operation...
I'm not sure the names of some of these
things. Kanjar or something?
I've been in a lot of operations,
And one was a peacetime operation in September 2017. You led the military response to Hurricane Maria, which really devastated Puerto Rico. And in fact, we were in Puerto Rico 2 years ago, this upcoming May, and they were still, General Buchanan, dealing with the effects of Maria.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, that's an ongoing issue. Your background, your Bachelor of Science in Wildlife Ecology from the University of Arizona has actually served you pretty well because you're one of five members of the Arizona Game and Fish Commission. You're on the Arizona State Parks Board. You're a deputy, volunteer deputy sheriff in Santa Cruz County, where you live. And so we have so much to cover today, General. Why don't we begin with many people found... that have found to be very distasteful, the news that came down Friday night about the firing of one of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And then there was the Admiral in the Navy, the right. lady.
Two of the Joint Chiefs.
Well, I'll let you, you tell the story.
Sure. Okay. So first of all, I think it's important to understand what's allowed, what's authorized, what's not. Both the Secretary of Defense and the President do have the authority to fire a general if they want to. The way I used to think about it was we serve at the pleasure of the president. So if the president is not pleased, then certainly you could be fired. Usually in our history, that has come down to when people are fired, and history is full of examples, but it usually comes down to either poor performance or misconduct. Mm-hmm. And you can think of Lincoln firing McClellan because of poor performance. Truman firing MacArthur.
The Lincoln firing early on when the Civil War was going so badly.
A number of Union generals were not aggressive enough.
Right.
MacArthur firing Truman because he disobeyed a direct order, even though some people thought that was political.
Truman firing MacArthur.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Right. And bringing MacArthur back home. Right.
And even President Obama firing a couple out of Afghanistan, one Dave McKiernan for poor performance, and one Stan McChrystal for misconduct, tolerating a culture that was not conducive to supporting the chain of command. What's unique about these firings, I think, on Friday night, at least my understanding, is that they seem to be politically motivated. Mm-hmm. There was not a case of misconduct, not a case of poor performance, in either, that I understand anyway, of either the chairman or the CNO, Chief of Naval Operations. Mm-hmm. That's concerning to me. Because, our military has prided itself on being nonpartisan.
Right.
As you know, Bill, you know, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat.
I know.
I never will be.
Yeah, I know.
And it's part of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. And so my concern is that if we start making these moves just based on politics, mm-hmm. pretty soon you get the idea that, well, you have Trump's generals, you have Biden's generals, and that's not healthy for the country. Mm-mm. Because we don't swear an oath to the president.
No,
we
you
swear
don't.
An oath to support and defend the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm concerned about political implications. If there's misconduct or poor performance, I'd like to see what it was.
And the record of these individuals you're talking about was exemplary, General.
Sure, yeah. And,
them being fired, let's face it, it tarnishes what they have done. Or does it? I mean...
I don't know. I mean, it certainly would if they were fired for misconduct.
But
or
there
poor
was no misconduct. But you know, they were both exemplary military people. And I want to also bring up the whole thing about what seems to be a war on diversity. When you look at the makeup of your service, the United States Army, let me ask you, what percentage do you think the United States Army now is made up of minorities and women?
So if you include women, I'm mm-hmm. guessing 40 to 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So here again, I think that term for all kinds of reasons has taken on a bad light. I think it's unfortunate. But where I work with a lot of leaders from across business, academia, and everything. And where I see people get into trouble with diversity is when they look at diversity as an end rather than as a means. If I look at diversity and I think my organization needs to have X number of people that look like this,
mm-hmm.
you're missing the point.
Mm-hmm.
The point
mm-hmm.
should really be if I have diversity of thought,
mm-hmm.
in other words, if I lead an organization where not everybody looks and thinks and acts exactly like me, mm-hmm. I'm probably going to get a broader set of options mm-hmm. in what kind of decision I should make. And I'll get better information and get to make better decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Where if I surround myself with, in my case, just a bunch of old dudes who are infantrymen, you know, I'm going to have a problem because I'm going to have a very narrow perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want somebody on my team who's 30 years old or younger.
Mm-hmm.
I want somebody who grew up with an iPhone in hand
because mm-hmm.
they will give me a different perspective than if I just surround myself with a bunch of people that look like me.
Mm-hmm. You know, getting back to the firings, these individuals then were replaced by folks that maybe didn't have as good a resume?
So I don't think that there have been any replacements, certainly not confirmed by the Senate.
Okay.
There's acting, you know, so the, mm-hmm. for example, the acting vice chief of naval operations, you know, I mean, the vice chief of naval operations is probably the acting mm-hmm. chief of naval mm-hmm. operations. Of course, the vice has a normal job too. So mm-hmm. it's going to create some issues with span of control and ability to get the work done until we get replacements nominated
mm-hmm.
by the president and then confirmed by the Senate.
Had the learning curve over at the Defense Department is pretty, it's been pretty glaring, hasn't it?
Well, certainly. I mean,
and what you had talked about the last time you were on the show, that you said there would be this, you know, a learning curve, and
so you're talking
better
about
have some fast learners,
right? You're talking about the secretary and the political appointees.
Yeah,
yeah. So you know, Secretary Hegs that did not bring the kind of experience to that job that we typically see.
No.
And what I hope is that he's a fast learner. In fact, I'm praying for it. You know, mm-hmm. he's my Secretary of Defense, and mm-hmm. I want nothing more in the world than for him to succeed. And of course, that requires a lot of learning. If the experience isn't there, you got to be open to it. So what I hope is that, in fact, that's happening.
All right, let's take a break right here. More with retired three-star U.S. Army General Jeff Buchanan, a regular contributor to the Buckmaster Show, and we're honored that he is such. Be right back.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. As things heat up, and we're up, what, mid-80s here in Tucson, we always we send so many of our listeners over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The elevation's over about 5,000 to 7,000 feet, depending on where you are. I like this temperature, 67 right now over midday in Silver City, so that's pretty much going to be the high over there. And over the weekend, in the around 60 degrees, overnight lows are still manageable, kind of chilly, but it's a great getaway as we now approach early spring. Only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Their website, southwestnewmexico.org. And did I say it's only a three-hour drive east of Tucson? So if you're looking for a fun weekend, a little bit of the land of enchantment, check out Southwest New Mexico and Silver City. We continue now in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios with our retired three-star general, regular contributor to our program, General Jeffrey Buchanan, and who is also a member of the five. There are five commissioners of the Arizona Game and Fish Department, and General Buchanan is one of those five. And before we talk about Ukraine, impact on federal funding has been freeze. There's a freeze in so many areas. Just wondering, generally, on Arizona Game and Fish, will there be an impact?
So there certainly could be. As you can imagine, we get a fair amount of our funding from federal excise taxes, which are, you know, anytime you buy a firearms or ammunition or bows and arrows, whatever, even fishing tackle, there's a federal excise tax, which then is turned around and redistributed to the states specifically for wildlife conservation.
Mm.
And that, we call it Pittman-Robertson after the act passed in 1937. As far as I understand, we're pretty stable on those grounds.
Mm.
But, you know, last month we had an announcement of a grant from Department of Agriculture, National Resource Conservation Service of $24 million to the state of Arizona to do habitat restoration, primarily up in the area north of the Grand Canyon.
I think you actually mentioned that right. on our program that, last month.
That
is that in jeopardy?
It could be.
Oh,
we
boy.
We just don't know right now. So oh, there's concern about some of these grants and things that are out there. You did mention, I'm going to take the opportunity for an advertisement real quick.
Please.
You did mention five people on the Game and Fish Commission.
Yes.
You know, we get one new commissioner every year.
Mm-hmm.
And our commissioner, we do have a commissioner that lives in Tucson, Clay Hernandez, wonderful man. Clay, in fact, right now is our chairman, but he's in his last year of service.
Mm-hmm.
And in the fall, we will open up applications for a new commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
And so very commonly we have somebody from Pima County. You know, we can only have one commissioner from each county
mm-hmm.
at a maximum. And the seat the occupying from Pima County is vacating next. So I want to encourage anybody who's interested to jump on the Game and Fish website, learn what you can and think about applying.
You know,
people who have
I'm sure
some
these positions
and
are
understanding,
vetted, I'm sure, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Experience and understanding mm-hmm. about conservation, about how the natural systems work.
Mm-hmm.
It would probably help if you're a hunter or a fisherman, but you mm-hmm. don't have to be, obviously. Mm-hmm. But education, personal experience, those kinds of things. And maybe just as importantly, time. We do have a couple of people on the commission that have full-time jobs, mm-hmm. and I'll be honest with you, they can do it, but it's a struggle.
Are there once-a-month meetings? Or?
It's a once-a-month meeting at different parts in the state, but it requires—
Get ready to travel, right? Put
but
some mileage on the car.
I spend a lot more time than that
All
doing
right.
game and fish business.
All right, let's get your input now on the situation with the United States. Seemingly changing positions, changing sides on who we are supporting in the now 3-year-old Russian-Ukrainian war.
Yeah, so let me be clear. I don't know what the facts are about what was said. I've read some reports about what was said and who it was said to and how it was said. I think if nothing else, though, there's confusion and a little obviously concern about, okay, are we still supporting Ukraine? Are we shifting, to support more for Russia by at least casting doubt on who started the war, if not changing the dynamics? Comments, you know, that were a hard line about whether or not Ukraine has a future in NATO, et cetera. I got to be honest with you, I'm not in the middle of those discussions, so I don't know how much of this is a negotiating technique,
mm-hmm.
which some of that certainly could be, or some of it reflects a change in strategic direction.
What does that do to battlefield morale, though?
Well, I mean,
if you're on the front lines with Ukraine and you suddenly, if it feels like the world's strongest power, military power, is no longer behind you, that can be a little bit concerning.
I think it certainly could. And so I think the issue is, you know, this president was elected, mm-hmm. and one of his statements is, I'm going to end this war between Ukraine and Russia. The question is on whose terms and what's the cost? And so as this unfolds, I know that President Zelensky, or at least I understood it, and it was announced that he's going to be coming to the U.S. On Friday to sign some sort of deal. I think we've got a lot to learn about what's really happening.
I think this was some kind of a mineral agreement or deal they were going to put together.
But what we don't know, of course, is what's the other parts of that? What does it apply in terms of long-term support? And if you assign this and agree to it, what does this mean for future military aid, et cetera? Well, I just don't know.
This is a seismic shift, though, in really our whole, the way we are lining up, the way we approach geographic sectors. You've got a lot of people questioning whether the United States will even come to the aid of Taiwan if the Chinese make a move on Taiwan.
Yeah, so completely different question. Different part of the world.
Got a different question for you. We're going over to Asia, and a lot of people are worried about that.
Right. So yeah. All of these things, of course, are driven by what are our national interests?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we have some national interests with respect to China, but we also have national interests with respect to Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
And what the decisions that will be made about how do we treat each, what is, you know, a economic trade war is one thing. How could this potentially lead to something more violent? There's a lot of questions out there, Bill. I don't know. I did see that, I would not say that this administration is trying to do anything to appease China like mm-hmm. they seem to be doing to appease Russia.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask, going back to Europe, the drawdown, and I've seen reports that the United States Army has been pulling a lot of soldiers out of Germany. What are you hearing about a drawdown over in Europe?
So I'm not watching the deployment timelines really closely.
I haven't
gotten the details
mm-hmm.
on that.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was pending and operational, you know, I wouldn't talk about it on the radio.
Of course
anyway.
You would not share that with me or our listeners. Some things we have to keep close to the vest. So generally, when you look at, I guess some would characterize chaos, kind of ruling by chaos in the first month of the Trump administration, generally kind of what's your gut feeling of what this means for the United States Army and all of the services?
Well, I think that changes in direction are natural with any change in administration, especially when it goes from one party mm-hmm. to the other.
Sure.
They're trying to deliver on different promises.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody ever gets elected on here's how big we're going to make government and how much we're going to spend of your tax dollars.
Right.
So
right.
Usually when we have changes in administration, we mm-hmm. see some sort of tightening down that's translated to the guys on the ground. We want you to do more with less. And that's what usually comes about. I think mm-hmm. that's going to happen here. It is happening here, clearly with the tightening of the defense budget. But at the same time, you know, we're increasing our deployment to the southwest border, all kinds of things. So the question is, in some ways, this is what typically happens. I think the concern that I have really has to do with predictability. And so, okay, if this is going to be our budget from here on, here's how we make it work. What I just don't know is how predictable is all this?
And
is it chaotic, like you said, or is it really part of a more intentional scheme as a negotiating technique?
And please, let's leave the veterans out of this. And they're already trying to, you know, cut at the veteran VA. It's not wise.
Yeah,
I think
it's
not good.
No, you know, let me just say one
real
thing.
Real quickly, I've got 10
seconds. Okay,
very quickly. Yeah.
Our Veterans Administration Medical Center in Tucson is one of the best in the country.
Yeah.
Well, and I would really hate to be
over there. Yeah.
I would really hate to see that get mm-hmm. damaged.
All right, General Buchanan, always a pleasure. We'll look for your, I think we were already scheduled for March. Have a great afternoon and signing off, and hope everybody has a great day.